Peace be with you. We just last Wednesday, February 1st, passed the four-year anniversary of this show. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. Speaking of the four-year anniversary, last week in the Facebook group, I posted a picture of the cookie cake that said CSR4 on it for the special occasion that was celebrated. Always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Next Sunday, the Super Bowl will be played, and immediately upon the game finishing, we will see commercials to order merchandise with the new champion on shirts, hats, and other apparel. This weekend was the NHL All-Star Game, and I was wearing my Tampa Bay Lightning t-shirt that on the back has Vasilevsky 88 for our goalie. That was part of the event. I recently was helping out a new pro sports league that was getting started, and they had so much merchandise for all the teams in the league itself before the first game was ever even played. We don't hesitate to go out and tell the world, through the merchandise that we proudly wear, who our favorite team and or athlete is, but so then why don't we have that same enthusiasm to boast in the Lord? Each day is a new opportunity to spread the good news, and much in the way that, in the New Testament, Acts chapter 8 calls and should inspire us to do. I'm going to read to you verses 4 through 8 and 25, but encourage you to then go and read all of what's in between that I'm leaving out. Quote, "Now those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. So when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the good news to many Samaritan villages." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has raced in 25 marathons since 1990. Over a 21-year span, he was the fastest person on every base he was stationed, 9 assignments, based on the Air Force Aerobic Fitness Test, 1.5 miles. And in 2010, he was the Scott Air Force Base Athlete of the Year, chosen out of 3,500 airmen. From 2007 to 2009 at the U.S. Air Force Academy, he coached the cadet marathon team and competed. Previously at the academy, as a cadet athlete, he coached the squadron boxing and cross-country teams to the academy championship. Back in his high school days, he was captain of the track and cross-country team and top distance runner. He is the president and founder of Life Runners, the world's largest pro-life team. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Pat Castle.
Hey, God morning, God afternoon, God evening, whatever place on the rotation of the planet you're listening.
I like that. Thank you for being here. I actually think there's a whole lot more I could have read off during the intro, but let's start in anyway, and I'm sure that more will come out. For starters, where were you born and raised? What was the family size? And did you have a traditional Catholic upbringing?
I did have a traditional Catholic upbringing. I was raised in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and graduated from O'Gorman Catholic High School in 1989, and then launched into 25 years of military service. And it was a total privilege to wear the uniform for what it stands for, you know, defending life and liberty. And then from there, launched into now a lifetime of ministry, service to the church. And I loved your opener, Bruce, on how the merchandise from the Super Bowl and how everyone will look to get the winning shirt. And what a great theme for our conversation today with such a winning, victorious shirt, the Life Runners jersey, which when you're ready, I'll be happy to describe the elements of that victorious merch.
Sure. And in the intro, I only briefly alluded to your accomplishments as a high school athlete. But before we get to that, when did you first start into sports? Was it always slash only running, or did you participate in other sports? And who, by the way, inspired you to compete in sports?
Well, I have two big brothers, and they inspired me to run faster than them. And they were chasing me in typical brotherly love, whether up the stairs or out the back door. And so they take a lot of credit for launching my running career. I just kind of found that I had a, you know, parable of the talents, that I had a talent for distance running that exceeded the talents I had for football or basketball or hockey. Mm. And so that sport that really won out. And, you know, it's redemptive. I found that there was a lot of character building and the suffering of most athletes. The running is a punishment for their sport or something they have to do to get conditioned. And so there really is a lot of sacrifice, especially with distance running. And I found it to be very spiritual, a lot of great prayer time, an opportunity just to, you know, iron sharpens iron. And so I found it to be very character building and faith enhancing.
I like that perspective, though, because it conjures up memories for me of being a young student athlete and being on the basketball team. And in the basketball team, it was considered punitive if they were telling us that we were going to have to run suicides after practice. So nobody ever wanted to run suicides. But in your case, it's no, we enjoyed this. This was our choice to get into running. 2 weeks ago on this show, Daryl Chaney, who played for the Cincinnati Reds alongside Johnny Bench and Pete Rose in the 1970s, talked about serving during the Vietnam War, and I said that it reflected a Christian heart, meaning being in service to others. Mm-hmm. Pat, you attended a Catholic high school, and then boom, there you were off to the U.S. Air Force Academy. I know you were a cadet athlete there and even coached boxing and cross country, but did you see all of that as being in service to fellow airmen, not to mention our country, or were you just a young kid who said, sure, I'll go do that, or, you know, and or maybe you were inspired by your dad to go there?
Right, the latter, and the last comment. So I visited there when I was 12 years old, and just visually seeing what the cadets were doing with the formations at the noon meal, the unity, it just looked so good, so powerful. And I just lined up what the cause was for. Again, it reflected the defense of freedom and what our country stands for as intended by our co-founders of our Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so I want to be part of that. I was attracted to it. And so I immediately set forth with the goal of getting accepted there as one of three high school kids in 1989 that received the acceptance in the United States Air Force Academy. And, you know, that launched kind of along that same thread. What does that institution stand for? Did I realize what it stood for? Absolutely. And what it stands for, the core values of the Air Force Academy and the Air Force are service for self, integrity first, and excellence in all we do. And I thought, geez, that's what Jesus preached. Mm. Integrity first, service before self, excellence in all we do.
Wow.
And so that really threaded nicely into my heart for serving the Lord, and how it just went right down into serving our country as the founders of our country intended. They're people of faith.
Wow. Nicely said. And Pat, pardon my naivety, but I'd like to hear more about the boxing and the cross-country teams and marathon team. Mm-hmm. I'll admit that I'm really uninformed there as it relates to how much time there is to really do sports training and then say mm-hmm. how far would y'all travel for competitions, how often, any of those types mm-hmm. of details?
Yeah, it for listeners, it'll be of interest, and this still holds true. So my daughter, Grace, is a second-year cadet at the Air Force Academy, and one of the four pillars of the academy is a spiritual pillar, which is great that it still has survived in this culture. And another of the pillars is an athletic pillar.
Hmm.
So it's one of the values is that athleticism. And it makes sense because you need to be fit to fight. Like fellow life runner, Dr. Kevin Vose, he writes a lot of Catholic fitness books. One of them is, you know, a theme is on fit to fight, tending of the temple. And so the academy realized if we're going to defend our country for those holy values of the Constitution, then we need to be fit to fight. So they made time, to answer your question, Bruce. There was time in every day for fitness. And the path that I took, similar to, you know, why did running win out, is because I had a talent for that. There was a giftedness and there was an ability to suffer. Like Prefontaine, the great distance runner, said, he didn't think he was necessarily better than everyone else, but he could suffer more than everybody else. That was his notion.
Mm.
And I labeled that redemptive suffering. It's not suffering just for suffering's sake. It's not suffering for just, oh, let me see if I get one more second off my personal best. It's suffering for redemption, that you are making this holy, that you are tying prayer intentions to that suffering and just offering it up. And so, you know, when I think about that time, making time at the academy, they made it. And then during that time, we made the most of it. So boxing, I refer back to those big brothers that launched my running career.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they also launched my boxing career, as you can imagine. So they take credit for a lot of stuff, for a lot of the toughness in my life. And I am grateful for having that brotherly love. But so, yeah, boxed and ran cross country. And I was the coach for both those. I was the athlete coach as a cadet. And we were successful. And when I think back to that, I mean, this is a Catholic podcast, we were prayerful. You know, we were teams in a squadron, and we prayed before our events. And it makes me smile right now thinking that, yeah, no wonder we won. We tapped into power and real inspiration. The world likes to hijack words like inspiration. But what is inspiration? It's in spirit, in Holy Spirit.
Mm.
It's powerful when you tap into the real meaning of being inspired in spirit. So there's a little taste of sports at the Air Force Academy.
Well, yeah, and we've been talking about sports here a bit now, but I do want to mix more faith into this as you just started to show us there. I'm really quite interested to hear to what extent you were or weren't able to practice your Catholic faith while at the U.S. Air Force Academy. Was it a big no-no to be out in the open with that and best left to hole up in your room to pray, or are you going to surprise me and say that y'all would pray openly, as you're talking about, before competitions or even before Air Force drills? What did all that look like?
You bet. So there was no resistance as a cadet at the Air Force Academy when I was there, 89 to 93, for all things of faith. As a matter of fact, it was a value.
Mm.
And on paper, it still is. Is it as easy or as encouraged as when I was a cadet? I can't speak to that. You know, I'm not a cadet though right now. But when I was a cadet, 1989 to 93, it was encouraged to have a spiritual life. And so there was never any resistance to praying before events, at events. And that was wonderful. You know, it was wonderful for me to be able to live out my faith, because that's a question I would often get. Oh, it must have been hard to be that, you know, with God first, you know, the values of the Life Runners ministry that I lead, our apostolate is God first, life always, teammates forever. And so people say, oh, is it hard to keep God first when you're in uniform? Not at all. Not at all. Was there little wrinkles of resistance throughout my 25 years in uniform? Absolutely. Whether it be when I was a faculty member and a senior faculty member suggested to me, recommended to me that I take my picture of Jesus off my corkboard because it might be perceived as proselytizing the cadets. And I just smiled and thanked him for his input, but I had the confidence, confide, with faith, one, in spirit, but also I'd done my homework and knew that legally I could have that picture of Jesus on my corkboard. And so I just, you know, kind of smiled and thanked him for his input, but left that picture right where it was at.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get those little wrinkles of resistance.
Sure. Well done, though. I like the way that you handled that. And folks, not only am I going to have Pat share with us when did he get the idea for Life Runners, but he has an amazing story of being in competition and having an encounter with, well, wait, I can't do that to him. Let me have him tell you instead. Although first, let me tell you that one of you, a listener, was kind enough to send me a check through the mail as a gift to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry following a message that was sent to me through social media. It was done with the request of being kept anonymous, so I won't be sharing the name with you, and I'm trying to make sure I don't even let on to whether it was a male or female. I've probably said too much already by revealing that it was done in the form of a check and having written to me through, well, I'm not even going to say which social media platform, but I do very much appreciate having received that. A couple days ago, I was telling someone that it was the first of the month, which meant that I got hit with the $20 charge that always hits my card and greets me at the start of each month for the company that hosts and distributes the podcast audio files. That, of course, means that over the course of a year, that's $240 just for that service alone. In other words, it's on the list of other expenses that I face. And this is where I remind you that not only am I a one-person operation doing all this, but that I don't get any income for doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. So if you also start to add in, say, the hosting plan for the website, the domain name renewal, the Facebook ads that I've run from time to time, usually at $25 a pop, the hotel bill that I just had for the podcasting conference I went to in Orlando, you're starting to get the picture here that the list is quite lengthy of the many, many expenses I have in operating this Catholic Sports Radio ministry. All that being said, I'm optimistic that it's bearing fruit. My prayer is that this show is moving you deeper in your faith life, right? And of course, that you're getting enjoyment from the interviews I bring you each week, I hope. If you are, in fact, getting some benefit from this ministry, I encourage you to consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. You can make a one-time gift through the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of the website. It's fast, it's easy, it's secure, and it not only helps me with the various expenses I have in doing this for what is now every week for 4 years as of last Wednesday, but it tells me that you do like Catholic Sports Radio and it is helping you in your faith life. You're finding value in what I do. Rather than do it electronically, just like I said that the anonymous donor did, you can write to me either through social media or via email to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with instructions for sending a check through the mail. Regardless of whether you use the blue Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net or send me a check through the mail, as you've heard me do on past episodes, I will happily say the name of anyone who makes a gift to my ministry, or as you're hearing this week, you can choose to remain anonymous. Either way, your gift really does mean a lot to me. Please know my sincere gratitude for listening to the show, for telling others about it, for supporting the work that I do, and my ongoing efforts to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Talk about a mix of faith and sports. Pat, in 2006, you were racing the Pikes Peak Ascent and had an encounter with, I won't steal your thunder, share that story with us.
Yeah, with St. Padre Pio. I went to the world premiere of a documentary called Cross Mountain last night in Omaha. Great crew. They also did Apparition Hill in another great movie called Where There Is Darkness, about Father Rene, a priest who was murdered in St. Augustine, Florida. And in one of the scenes, a priest had vestment sign with a big picture of St. Padre Pio. And my thought was, wow, St. Pio really gets around. He sure does. Those that know about St. Padre Pio, of course, probably know him best by the fact that he had the stigmata, the wounds of Christ on his body, longer than anyone else, 50 years. And the only priest ever had the stigmata. St. Francis was a deacon, not a priest, and he had the stigmata for 2 years. And so St. Pio, you know, we know him for bilocation as a military member. Of course, I have it really resonates with him about all the interaction he had with the military during World War II, how he diverted aircraft out of harm's way, and just wonderful, incredible, mystical background on St. Padre Pio. So, you know, at first I thought, wow, I had an encounter with St. Padre Pio. I thought I was so special. So I started reading about him, and there's probably listeners that have a one-off story of St. Pio. You know, one of the quotes that I really like from him, Bruce, is where he says, Lord, please don't allow me into the kingdom until I've been allowed to help all my friends into the kingdom first. Wow. And I think the Lord really gave him that blessing, that he continues to work on this side of heaven. But in short, listeners, you can go to liferunners.org/creed. While you're there, you can see the Life Runners Creed that really tells you who the Life Runners are. And furthermore, you can see, Link, there's a picture of me collapse at the top of Pikes Peak in Colorado in 2006. And that picture you see there was on the front of the sports page in the News Gazette, Colorado Springs newspaper, that went out to 430,000 homes in August of 2006. You know, I felt bad that the winner's picture wasn't there. Instead, it was my picture. I wasn't the winner of the race in world standards. You know, I finished that day, you know, somewhere around probably in the hundreds out of 2,000, hundreds place. You know, I eventually went on and ran a couple years later the marathon, and I finished 17th. So I continue to get more inspired and better at racing up that mountain. But that picture there, you'll see, is soon after this encounter with St. Padre Pio. So the last 10 minutes of the race, Bruce, I had this encounter with St. Pio. I was lost in a fog up there, racing towards a goal to break 3 hours up the mountain. And I actually do remember now. So I broke the top 50. That's about the number of people that that break 3 hours. They're in the top 50. So out of 2,000. And this encounter was built around a series of prayers. But for the short version of the story, I had someone behind me in precision with each of these prayers encourage me that we are on pace to break 3 hours. And I ran that particular race in 2:59:51. And later, that the precision in prayer aligned with prayers from my mom, who wrote down the time on a piece of paper, 2 hours and 50 minutes into the race. And so that precision, if I looked at my watch with this encounter, was at the same time that my mother asked St. Padre. She sensed I was in trouble, which I was. I was in a fog, lost my milestones, very distressed at the top of the mountain. She asked St. Padre Pio to be with me and finish the race with me, and that he did. I had two audible encounters with him. I finished the race, and of course, you know, I'm sure listeners are wondering, like, wow, did you see him? Did not hurt him. But I remember thinking that maybe he just inspired someone behind me after I heard about my mom's prayer, like, wow, that precision, like, was it really him or someone that spoke that was inspired to speak? And I looked, and there was no one behind me for a minute and 47 seconds, which, go for a walk out your front door and walk a minute and 47 seconds down the street, you're going to make it a long way, even at a slow pace. In short, there was no one behind me, no finisher, physical finisher, but Padre Pio in spirit was with me. And it's a beautiful story. You can listen to it, as I said, at liferunners.org/creed. But Bruce, that really happened. And that was the first domino that dropped that is now the largest pro-life team in the world, Life Runners, with nearly 21,000 teammates in 3,367 cities across 44 nations, with one thing in common, and that is that they all have a shirt or a jacket that has a big cross on the front and a Holy Spirit dove in Jeremiah 1:5, where God said to Jeremiah, I knew you even before you were in your mother's womb. And then on the back, remember the unborn, as a public witness to impact hearts and minds for saving lives. So That is the Padre Pio encounter, and it was significant. And it, you take that encounter out, there is no life-saving, pro-life, running and walking team, apostolate life runners.
Beautiful story, beautiful testimony. And audience, I am going to put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to the Life Runners website, so you can see not only what Pat just told you about, but more from their organization. Just continue, Pat, if you would, a little bit into how that blossomed, the Padre Pio encounter, into you getting the idea for Life Runners.
Okay. So, you know, I'll first inject just a little bit of encouragement, because all things holy involve encouragement. I mean, you think about any miracles, any holy encounter, it's encouraging. People are encouraged when they're in spirit, when they're with God. So get ready for some encouragement, listeners. Running is optional with Life Runners. There, be encouraged by that. So, Bruce, the team is age 0.1. Yep, 0.1, meaning little babies in onesies that have a Remember the Unborn jersey with a cross on the front. Imagine how effective that is. Imagine being in a grocery store aisle and seeing a little baby with a onesie that says Remember the Unborn, and you're a mother in an unexpected pregnancy.
Okay, hold on, considering hold on. Abortion. Hold on, I'm getting choked up. I'm getting choked up here. I'm getting choked up.
Yeah, praise God.
Continue, and I'll collect myself on this end of the microphone. But what a beautiful picture in your head. It's so impactful.
And you can see, you got it, and you can see that this ministry is effective with this personal messaging. So just like that picture I just described, imagine that mother in an unexpected pregnancy, scared, and she's considering abortion. Maybe she's already scheduled an abortion. And she sees that little baby with a message on that little baby's back that says, "Remember the unborn." Mm. You want to talk about life-saving. 78% of post-abortion mothers, 78% of post-abortion mothers said that if they would have had one encouraging person or an encouraging sign to choose life, they would not have had an abortion.
Wow.
Think about that.
Wow.
As I said a moment ago, encouragement is holy. It's an attribute of the Holy Spirit. It's an attribute and a gift from God. And so Life Runners are encouraging. So now think about, it goes, the teammates are 0.1 to 101. We have Life Runners in nursing homes and wheelchairs with Remember the Unborn jersey. So now imagine you're that mother in an unexpected pregnancy visiting your grandmother or your grandfather at a nursing home. And your grandmother or grandfather or maybe their roommate or someone next door has a shirt that says Remember the Unborn. So hopefully I just gave the bookends that everyone is qualified to be a Life Runner. Running's optional. You got to wear something. And what a beautiful testimony you gave at the beginning of the show, Bruce, when you gave that great sharing about we're on the verge of the Super Bowl. Whoever wins, their merchandise, everyone's going to want the winning team's shirt to say, look, I'm on the winning team. How about a Life Runner's jersey has a big cross on the front? You want to talk about the winning team? The Life Runner's Creed, the end of it says, guard us all, born and unborn, with your peace, Lord, for in you life is victorious. We pray and run in your name, Jesus Christ, amen. And so the Life Runners jersey is the ultimate Super Bowl jersey, winning Super Bowl. It's heaven bound. It keeps people heaven focused for the eternal, you know, like Paul talks about in Philippians, that we press on towards the prize in Christ Jesus. That prize is to be in union with the communion of saints for eternity, the ultimate prize, heaven. And so you've got that winning jersey on the front, and then you have Matthew 25:40 on the back, if you will, because that verse says, what you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. So talk about honoring the ultimate coach, honoring our Savior, honoring the creator of all things. When we have a message like Remember the Unborn, we honor our creator for what we do for the least of our brothers and sisters. Who's more least than an unborn baby? We do for our Lord and Savior and our God. So, amen. That is Life Runners. So that St. Pio G just got me a little bit more focused. Maybe you can have a Rocky Balboa kind of visual of where Rocky started training harder because he needed to take on, you know, whatever his foe was leading on up in the whatever four or five Rocky films. As a little aside, we do a national race each year, Bruce. So we go to a big secular marathon, and there's all different distances, listeners. So you've got the 1 mile fun run for kids. You got a 5K, 10K, a half marathon, a full marathon. So everyone can come to these big races and have something there you can walk or run with us. But in 2016, we were at the Philadelphia Marathon, and we wanted to put a jersey on the Rocky Balboa, a Life Runner's jersey. But there was a guard there, and I was bummed. And I'm going to bring this back to St. Pio. So you're like, Pat, bring this back to St. Padre Pio. I'm heading there. So that jersey that we made, that 5XL Velcro jersey, Bruce, that the guard would not let us put on the Rocky Balboa statue, I was bummed. But 1 year later, I was standing in Pietrelcina, Italy, the hometown of Padre Pio, in the place where he first received the stigmata, the pain of the stigmata on his body. And there was an 8-foot statue of St. Pio. And I looked to then Father Joe Coffey, who's now Bishop Joe Coffey with the Military Archdiocese. And I said, Father, would it be sacrilegious to put this 5XL Life Runners jersey on Padre Pio? And he looked at me and said, no, he's your friend, Pat. Like, he'd love it. So he helped me put it on there. So wow. Instead of it being on Rocky Balboa, the Italian Stallion, we put it on the real spiritual Italian Stallion, the guy who actually fought Satan. You know, talk about Trump and Rocky, who fought the big Russian. St. Pio, remember, fought Satan. So how's that for tying into all things St. Pio, Life Runners, jerseys that represent victory? Everyone's qualified. Go to liferunners.org. Register to get our monthly updates and order a shirt or a jacket that says Remember the Unborn on the back and a big cross on the front and wear it. You got to wear something. Why not wear your witness?
Yeah, and by the way, I don't know if he's Catholic. I would love it if I found out he's listening to the show. If he's Catholic and he's listening to the show, he qualifies to be a guest. But I think Sylvester Stallone would be okay with having had to take a backseat to St. Padre Pio.
Amen.
And audience, in all seriousness, how amazing is the Holy Spirit? The way that we've seen the intercession in this ministry of mine, I've told you before, but it bears repeating because this is just the latest example. I do not share with the guest, and Pat can testify to this, I do not share with the guest what my ministry moment is going to be.
No.
So the fact that it tied in so perfectly with what Pat's message is, is clearly the Holy Spirit. I often joke with people and say that that ministry moment every week does not come from Bruce. That comes from God. I'm not smart enough to write that, is what I always say. And so the fact that it was obviously predestined for that to come to me on an episode where Pat is the guest and talks about what he's talking about is just another amazing testimony to the power of the intercession of the Holy Spirit. And like I said, I've had a front row seat for it before on other episodes. Pat, let's move along here. You teach for the Encounter School of Ministry. What and where is that, and who is that for?
Right. So that is an apostolate who's the national office is out of Michigan, and they are a very growing ministry, and the title is the Encounter School of Ministry, so you get a little bit of a head start. But in particular, what they teach is what the apostles did. So they teach about what the apostles did. So, you know, Jesus modeled for the apostles, and then he basically looked at the apostles and said, hey, go do what you saw me do. Go say what I said, and go work miracles. You know, go proclaim the kingdom of God, heal the wounded, deliver people from evil. That's Luke chapter 9, verse 2. And so we study in the Encounter School of Ministry that, and then we go out and we do that. And so the next shred in describing the Encounter School of Ministry is it's kind of a Holy Spirit healing and deliverance school. And it is, wow, you know, when you stand there and see miracles work, just like Christ said would happen, like, huh. Like he said, this was you know, through in the name of Jesus, this power lived in us. But when you witness the deaf hear, when you witness someone, you know, getting out of a wheelchair and walking across the room, you're like, huh. And then you also scratch your head and go, well, I know this person wasn't planted because I know them. You know, these are people that are in your community, people that you know. So you've got to wrestle with that, any doubt, and you've got to open your hands up in faith and say, wow, God, you really meant that. And so I am a faculty member and a co-founder for the Omaha campus. And there's campuses across the nation.
Okay.
So again, listeners can jump on, and it's Catholic Church Blast, you know, Bishop's Blast, and you can jump on there and take a peek at the Encounter School Ministry.
Okay.
You want to be radically living out your faith, this is an opportunity to do that. As Jesus said, if you're really doing it right, if you're following me and doing the things that I asked you to do, you should look like an alien in the world, you know, paraphrasing Jesus' words. Well, when you're doing the things that he did and offering those things, people are surprised. But you know what? Amazingly receptive. People are hungry for the supernatural.
Amen.
They are hungry for that spiritual reality.
Amen. Pat, tell us about the Daily Devotions book that you did.
So in January 2021, we published, we bound up 366 of what we considered the best of the best of our over 3,000 daily devotions that Life Runners has written over the last 10 or 12 years. And so there's some just really good devotions in this Life Runners Daily Devotions, 108 guest authors. You know, there's some names you'll recognize, you know, Abby Johnson, people might recognize her name, mm-hmm. in the pro-life movement. Governor Kristi Noem, people might recognize her name, you know, very pro-life, conservative, faithful governor. Bishop Paprocki from Springfield, Illinois, the Holy Goalie. Bishop Joe Coffey, I mentioned him earlier. And just a host of other just wonderful, faithful people. Great backgrounds, all different backgrounds. But yeah, you can go to liferunners.org/gear. So when you're getting your shirt or jacket that says Remember the Unborn, to heroically wear your witness out in the world with a big cross on the front. You know, Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Well, how about a 4-ounce t-shirt cross? And if you need some inspiration to walk out into the world, grab a Life Runners Daily Devotions book, because it's got a daily scripture. We did them originally, Bruce, you'll love this. We wrote them in stride with the daily mass readings for a number of years, in stride. So it would come out, the devotion was written off of that day's daily mass readings. And so written off of a scripture reading and then a reflection and then a challenge. And it's written on a 1-page, 1-minute devotion. So yeah, that's the devotional. It's fantastic.
I like it. And again, audience, remember, on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net, I am going to put a link to the website that you've heard Pat mention a few times. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, he just talked about Bishop Paprocki, the Holy Goalie. He was actually a guest on Catholic Sports Radio back in April of 2021. That was episode 114. So if you never heard my interview with Bishop Paprocki, use CatholicSportsRadio.net to search for episode 114. Look for his name or whatever podcast player you listen on. Navigate back to episode 114 from April 5th of 2021. We're going to wrap things up, Pat. I'd love to hear you tell us about, you mentioned a daughter before, but how long have you been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, and how many children do you have in total, and I guess any sports connections too?
Yeah, so 29 years of holy matrimony, and my wife is a convert, and it's a beautiful story of her conversion. From being pro-choice, pro-abortion, to pro-life, and realizing the truth and the beauty of God's gift of life, which drew us close together into marriage. So she's been a great witness in the ministry that I lead, the apostolate that I lead. Two daughters. Oldest daughter works with the elderly, so she travels around here in eastern Nebraska and visits the elderly in their home, and gives them guidance and resources to be able to stay in their home. And it's a beautiful ministry shift. So many wonderful stories of faith with the, as she says, the right way is older adults. So the older adults. And then daughter Grace, I think I alluded to as a second year cadet at the Air Force Academy. I tried to discourage her, Bruce, from going to school there. I said, I did that so that you don't have to. And she's like, that's not fair. I want to. So she's just wow. I mean, watching her, and she's tougher than me. You know, I guess that's a testimony. You want that. You know, when she jumped out of airplanes, she thought it was fun. When I jumped out of airplanes, I thought, what am I doing jumping out of a perfectly good airplane? So you know, that's a round out of my family. They are all heroically pro-life. They all are God first, life always, teammates forever. Heaven is a team effort. So listeners, you know, as I keep reinforcing, let's keep encouraging us. And as we wind down, when we get to the very end here, Bruce, I'd like to do the Life Runners cheer with all the listeners for encouragement.
The Life Runners cheer?
Yeah, I'm going to lead the cheer when we're ready for that.
Okay, well, bring it to us, because then we're going to do our closing prayer. And stick around, audience, because I'm going to call an audible on even that. But Pat, go ahead. What is the Life Runners cheer?
Okay. So I'm guessing a lot of people are athletes listening. And so, you know, we got handshakes and cheers and encouragement. So the cheer, and you can pass it along, and we're going to practice it right now. So really do this. If you're in your car, if you're in your home, like, give this cheer, because it will encourage those around you. I'm going to give an all in Christ, and then everybody listening, give a for pro life. So here we go. All in Christ.
For pro life.
Pro life. All in Christ.
For pro life.
Pro life. All in Christ.
For pro life.
Life. That's the cheer, Bruce.
Awesome. Awesome. Pat, so wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for all that you're doing, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you. God bless you.
And audience, I had my postcard standing by. You've probably seen a picture once or twice on social media of it, the sportsman's prayer that we do, or maybe you've written it out by hand yourself or typed it out in your computer. Maybe you've memorized it, but I'm going to call an audible. Instead of doing the sportsman's prayer, we're going to close. As Pat was talking, I cheated, and I punched up on my computer, liferunners.org/creed. So I think it's a fitting prayer for us to close this week's episode with. So let's do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We believe in the dignity of all human life from conception to natural death. We run as a prayer to defend children in the womb so that they may be born and united with our Christian community. We run to build endurance, for the race is long and we must keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord. We run for awareness so our culture will view all human life as a reflection of your glory, Lord. We run for charity to provide support for mothers and fathers tempted to abort their child and healing support for post-abortion women, men, and families. We run to end abortion, for Christ died so that all may live. Guard us all, born and unborn, with your peace, Lord, for in you life is victorious. We pray and run in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.